Now let's turn, please, in our Bibles to 2 Chronicles chapter 25, the passage we read. It's on page 376 in the Pew Bibles, 2 Chronicles 25. I've said this before as we've been going through Chronicles, that there are these characters in the Bible who appear very obscure. I wonder how many of us would have looked at Amaziah and said, oh, of course, Amaziah. I know all about Amaziah, and I know who he was and when he reigned and what happened in his reign. Well, I doubt if many of us could have done that. And I think this is the beauty of studying 2 Chronicles, because there are characters in the Bible we know well. We know Peter, and we know Paul, and we know Moses, and we know David. But there are these characters whom we don't often read about, and yet they're in the Scripture. And as I often say, remember when the New Testament speaks about the Old Testament, Paul, writing to the Corinthians, says that these things were written for our instruction. It is to teach us. There are lessons in Amaziah that we need to learn. And particularly this afternoon, as we look at Amaziah, there are very, very important lessons that I want to bring to your notice. So do please listen. I'm not going to be long. It's not going to be a long sermon. But these are important lessons. There are three things that I want to bring to your notice from the life of Amaziah. The first thing that I want us to notice in this passage talks about Amaziah's sin. Amaziah's sin. Now, when you look at verse 2, it seems to be saying that he was a godly man. It says in verse 2, he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, yet not with a whole heart. However, as we read this passage, it is quite clear that Amaziah is what we would call today a nominal Christian. Does that language make sense to anybody? Do you know what I mean by a nominal Christian? There are people who are born in Britain, and they're born to Christian parents. They're born to parents who go to church each Sunday. And usually it's in the Anglican church or the Catholic church, and they're taken to the church as little babies, and they're sprinkled with water. And it's called a christening, and they're told, you're now a Christian. You've been born in a so-called Christian country. You've been born to Christian parents. You've been taken to church. You've been christened, so you're now a Christian. And many of those people continue going to church. They go to church each Sunday. They get involved in church activities. They play music, or they sing, or they serve in some other capacity in the church. And if you were to talk to them and you say, are you a Christian? Well, of course I'm a Christian. I was born a Christian. And I've been a Christian all my life. And they've never had what the Bible calls a conversion experience. Jesus said, unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. And then he said, unless one is born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. So Jesus' teaching is that there has to be this conversion experience, this new birth, this radical work of God, where God removes the heart of stone, the heart of sin, and replaces it with a heart of flesh, a godly heart. God has to do this work. It is the Spirit of God who does this. In John 3, where Jesus teaches about the new birth, Jesus speaks about the work of the Holy Spirit. And he says, the Spirit moves where he wants to. It's like the wind. You know the wind is there, but you don't know where it comes from, where it is going. So it is with the Spirit. It is the sovereign work of the Spirit, but it has to be of the Spirit. It is the Spirit of God who does this work of conversion. Incidentally, the teaching of Jesus in John 3 is based on a passage in Ezekiel. And in Ezekiel, God says to his people that I will remove your heart of stone, and I will give you a heart of flesh, and I will wash you from your sin and from your idolatry, and I will give you my Holy Spirit, and he will enable you to walk in my ways. This is Ezekiel chapter 26. And so this is the teaching of the Bible. Now there are people in the Bible who were nominally Christians. The word nominal comes from the word name. Christians in name. They were there in the Old Testament. And they were there in the New Testament. And you read about them. If you were to read, for example, in Genesis, and you read about Lot. Now, you know the most famous thing about Lot. The angel of the Lord came and said to Lot, "You've got to flee this city of Sodom because God is about to destroy it." And Lot and his family are leaving. And Lot's wife looks back and is turned into a pillar of salt. And there are some excellent sermons on Lot's wife. And the best thing I've ever heard is when she looked back, it was a look of longing. She was leaving Sodom, but her heart was there. Her desires were there. She wasn't a believer. She was only going because her husband said, "You must come." But her longing was in Sodom, and that is why she was judged. You read in the New Testament, perhaps the most famous nominal Christian of all, Judas Iscariot. For 3 years, he's with the Lord Jesus. He hears all of Jesus' teaching. He sees all of Jesus' miracles. And then he was eventually the son of perdition who went to a lost eternity. Judas was never saved. He was never a Christian. But he had all the outward appearances of a Christian. At the Last Supper, when Jesus said, "One of you will betray me," nobody turned and said, "Judas, isn't it? We've been with you 3 years. We've all been together. It's Judas, isn't it? We've seen something." He was so good at it. Nobody noticed that actually he was only in name a follower of Jesus. Well, Amaziah is that. And the reason I say it is because when you read about kings who are truly believers, men like Asa and Jehoshaphat and Hezekiah and Josiah, it says his heart was devoted to the Lord. That's the language that the Bible uses, particularly 2 Chronicles. It's a phrase that is found in 2 Chronicles. His heart was devoted to the Lord. It's used of Asa, Jehoshaphat, and the other kings who were godly. His heart was devoted to the Lord. But here it says in verse 2, he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, yet not with a whole heart. What are the marks of a nominal Christian? How do we know if a person is nominal? Well, we might not be able to tell, but how can a person himself know whether I'm nominal or not? Well, there are two signs from Amaziah. Firstly, they tend to be legalistic. It's all about the law. Do you notice it says here in verse 3, as soon as the royal power was firmly his, he killed his servants who had struck down the king his father, but he did not put down their children to death according to what is written in the law. So you see, Amaziah thinks to himself, as long as I obey the law, I'm a child of God. As long as I keep to the law. And you know how people become legalistic, and to them, it's all about the law. Principles and rules and regulations and law. As long as I do certain things, as long as I go to church each Sunday, as long as I get baptized, as long as I sing the hymns, as long as I read my Bible, as long as I pray, as long as I do things that I've been told to do and I keep doing them, I will get into heaven. Now, the Christian faith isn't about the law. It is about a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. There is a totally fascinating passage in Romans chapter 7. And in Romans chapter 7, Paul says, when you were unbelievers, now this is what Paul is saying. He's saying, when you were unbelievers, you were married to the law. When you became Christians, your marriage to the law died, and you are now married to Jesus Christ. That is biblical language. That is Romans 7. I know he doesn't use that form of words, but that's what he is saying. So you see, the law, now I'm not saying the law is irrelevant, but I am saying that our Christianity is not founded upon the law. It is founded upon love. It isn't about, do I obey the law? Is it, do I love Christ? This is why the earlier kings, it says about them, his heart was devoted to the Lord. Asa, Jehoshaphat, a heart devoted to the Lord. But Amaziah comes across as this man who obeys the law, but we don't see heartfelt devotion to the Lord. So the first mark of a person who is nominally Christian, they will be all about the law, keep the law, obey the law, do the law, rather than love the Lord, walk with the Lord, and enjoy his love. The second mark of a nominal Christian is that his heart will be idolatrous. His heart will be idolatrous, not devoted to the Lord. The outward actions will all look good, but the heart is devoted to idolatry. There's an astonishing passage in this chapter that we've just read. Look at it from verse 14. Amaziah goes and fights in the valley of Seir, and he kills 10,000 men of Seir. And then it says from verse 14, Amaziah came down from striking the Edomites. He brought the gods of the men of Seir and set them up as his gods and worshipped them. Isn't that astonishing? Every time I read this passage, I look at it again and think, have I read that right? You know, here are the Edomites. They have their gods. And Amaziah is a follower of Jehovah nominally. They go to war and Amaziah defeats the Edomites. And you would have thought Amaziah would say, the Lord has given me victory. God is the one true living God. Because the Edomites came trusting in their gods and they were defeated. I went trusting in my God, and my God Jehovah, the one true living God, gave us victory. You would have thought that that would have increased his devotion to the Lord. But he had no devotion to the Lord. And so once he's defeated the Edomites, he does something utterly stupid. He takes their gods and he sets them up as his gods and he worships them, verse 14. And this prophet comes to him and the prophet says to him, this is the most stupid thing I've ever seen, he says in verse 15. Why have you sought the gods of a people who did not deliver their own people from your hand? Why have you started worshiping the gods of those whom you defeated? Their gods were not able to protect them from you. And then you take their gods and you worship their gods. What is this stupidity? But Amaziah has idolatry in his heart. Outwardly, he's a true child of God. Inwardly, he was never a child of God. So that's the first important lesson. And friends, all of us, we need to examine our hearts. You know, all of us here, we could say, well, of course I'm a Christian. And you may think, I am a Christian. You may be totally, totally sincere in saying that. Can I remind you, Jesus said, on that day, many will say to me, many, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not in your name cast out demons and do wonders and miracles? And I will say to them, away from me, you workers of iniquity, I never knew you. I never knew you. These are people who sincerely believe that they're Christians. They're not deceiving themselves. They're not saying, I know I'm not a Christian, but if I behave like a Christian on the day of judgment, I will fool Christ. That's not their mindset. Their mindset is, well, of course I'm saved. They believe themselves to be saved. They sincerely believe themselves to be saved. They march up to Jesus confidently on the day of judgment. They walk up to him. They're not trembling. They're not sort of, I wonder. But they march up to him and they say to him, did we not in your name do this and do that and do this? And Jesus said, I never knew you. Workers of iniquity, I never knew you. Friends, never be deceived about your spiritual condition. Examine your heart. Remember Paul's words, 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5. Examine yourselves to see if you're in the faith. Test yourself. Read the first letter of John. The first letter of John is full of tests. How do I know if I'm a true Christian? 1 John tells you that. 1 John asks you questions. Answer those questions and test yourself. Am I truly saved? So the first lesson in this passage, Amaziah's sin. The second lesson in this passage is God's power. God's power. This is a tremendous passage. We're told from verse 5 that Amaziah assembled the men of Judah and set them by the fathers' houses and commanded under commanders of thousands and hundreds for all Judah and Benjamin. And so he had this army. And he found that there were 300,000 men fit for war. And he goes to the northern kingdom, Israel, and he hires 100,000 men. Verse 7, but a man of God came to him and said, O king, do not let the army of Israel go with you, for the Lord is not with Israel, but with all these Ephraimites. Do not let them go with you, but go, verse 8, act. Be strong for the battle. Why should you suppose that God will cast you down before the enemy? For God has power to help or to cast down. And Amaziah obeys. Amaziah said to the man of God, what shall we do about these other men? He says, well, send them off. So he sends them off. And verse 11, Amaziah took courage and led his people out, went to the Valley of Salt and struck down 10,000 men of Seir. It is God's power. It's again one of those wars, and there are so many in the Old Testament, where the battle belongs to the Lord. God teaches his people time and again this lesson, I fight your wars, you don't fight them. Joshua enters the promised land, and there is the city of Jericho with its huge walls. And Joshua, being a soldier and commander, is probably working out the strategy. How do we attack this city surrounded by mighty walls and has a mighty army? If I post some men here and I post some men there, he's working out strategy. And God says, you don't have to work any strategy. You march around the city and you keep marching around the city. And on the final day, you march around the city and you blow the trumpets and the walls will come down. God fought their war. You read about Gideon and how Gideon was going to go to war against the Moabites. And he had this mighty army. And God says, that's too many. That's too many. You've got to whittle down. And they whittle down the numbers to 300. And there's a mighty army against him with 300. And Gideon goes into war. And God wins the battle for Gideon. And here Amaziah goes into battle and God says to him, you don't need to hire these mercenary servants from the northern country of Israel. The northern country of Israel has been in idolatry for decades. They've been in rebellion against God for decades. You don't bring these idolatrous soldiers into God's army and expect them to fight. We don't do that. We are God's people and we fight with God's army and with God's power. And he wins the war. It's a wonderful lesson. We need to remember it so often. We need to remind ourselves it is all in God. I was saying this morning, Jesus said, without me you can do nothing. Is the Christian faith going to prosper in Britain again? Will Britain ever come back to the Lord? Will Britain ever come back to the scriptures and live lives according to the scriptures? Well, yes, we must do all we can to make the gospel known, but it is in God's hands. And prayer is the greatest key for it. We must always be praying for this nation. Pray for our own church. It is in God's power. It is in God's strength. It is in God's enabling that this happens. And Amaziah needed to learn that lesson. So the first lesson, Amaziah's sin. Second lesson, God's power. And then third lesson, God's judgment. God gives Amaziah victory over the people of Edom. And Amaziah goes and takes their gods, their idols, to be his god. Well, this angers God. And so a prophet goes, and a prophet speaks to Amaziah. And in verse 16, the prophet says to Amaziah, I know that God has determined to destroy you because you have done this and have not listened to my counsel. You've taken these gods of the Moabites, the Edomites, and you've made them your gods. And God is angry with this because God hates sin. And God punishes sin. God judges sin. So Amaziah comes back and he's full of pride because he's won a victory against the Moabites. And so he goes to the king of Israel, the northern kingdom, and he says, let's meet in a battle. I want to take you on in a war. And the king of the north says, be careful. Yes, you won a victory against the Moabites, but don't get so caught up in this and don't become so proud and say, come and fight. You be careful. Well, Amaziah wouldn't. Verse 20, Amaziah would not listen, for it was of God in order that he might give them into the hand of their enemies because they had sought the gods of Edom. He had gone into idolatry, and God hates idolatry. And so they went to war, and Joash, the king of the north, defeated Amaziah. And for the rest of his time, as long as Joash was alive, Amaziah was his vessel. He had to give him tribute and so on, because he was now under him. And Joash, the king of the north, comes, and he seizes all the gold and the silver and all the vessels that were found in the house of God. And the passage makes it very clear. It is judgment from God. God hates sin. And God judges sin. And God punishes sin. Now, if you're a Christian here this afternoon, you listen to those words and you say, praise God for Jesus. Because Jesus took my sin upon him on the cross. And Jesus was punished for my sin upon the cross. And Jesus took the judgment for my sin upon the cross. We as Christians will not face the judgment of God. But every time we read this passage, we must surely pause and give thanks to God for that. It's only because of Christ, only because of his death and his taking the punishment that we won't be judged. Because we, like Amaziah, are sinners. And we are just merit is judgment. And Christ was judged in our place. But all who are unbelievers, all who are not covered in the blood of Jesus, all who have no forgiveness through the name of Jesus, will face judgment. God judges sin, and God will not leave sin unpunished. And this is why our trust must always be in Christ. So three lessons from Amaziah. Amaziah's sin, this half-hearted, nominal kind of faith. Outwardly good, but actually an idolatrous. God's power in defeating the enemy and giving them victory. But then God's judgment for Amaziah's sin. Well, let's pray that God teaches us these lessons and that we will live by them.